elaborating on faith as we see it in the book of, to see the lack thereof in the book of Jeremiah. Can you read? We want to read the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, which King Zedekiah sent unto him. Pashur the son of Michael and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, say, inquire, pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Then Jeremiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And he goes on to tell him what God had said against Israel, against the men of Judah, because they are like the people we have of today, like people here in this city, in this state, and in the United States of America, here in this nation. Me and Brother David was talking Sunday, I think it was, about how much different it is. What happened is, they were asking, they wanted to ask, these are people that didn't worship God. Zedekiah wasn't a worshiper of God, even though he was a king of Judah. He was a pansy king. Nebuchadnezzar had placed him on the throne. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the sons of Josiah. You remember Josiah had three sons, and that uncle, one of the uncles, had reigned during a period in there. But they, the others had been killed, and Nebuchadnezzar had placed him on the throne. And he had made a covenant with Babylon, and he broke the covenant relying on Egypt. Pharaoh Hophra was the king of Egypt at that time, and they thought that they were getting back strong and that Egypt would rely upon, I mean, Judah would rely upon Egypt to help fight Babylon, and that Zedekiah rebelled against against Nebuchadnezzar and didn't pay tribute and had turned on him. That's why what all happened to Zedekiah happened to him, because he had broke the covenant. And we know God is a covenant God. That he's the God of covenants. If you make a covenant, he's the sustain that covenant. When you get married, the covenant, God oversees that covenant of marriage. That's why I said don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth or whatever. So these people, as I was saying about what was going on in this city, as, like I said, is predominant in this nation, people live any kind of way. They're not thinking about the name of Jesus. They're not honoring and giving God his due respect. It's hard to find someone that's truly, as we looked in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he said, go find a man throughout the city that's really mourning and sighing for the wrong that's being done. Find a righteous man, and it was hard for them to do. And these people had followed, they had went into idolatry and everything. They had placed Jeremiah in the cistern, they had beat him, they had did all kinds of things to him, but now they want to go inquire of the Lord and see what the Lord say good. And a lot of times people try to rely on God over past experiences of what God did in the past. But like I say, it may not be applicable to you what God do for you as he did for someone else. These people were far below the caliber of when God interceded against Sennacherib for Hezekiah, that God worked a miracle. They said he was a miracle working God. God looks upon the heart, and that's what the people during Jeremiah's time was. They had a heart problem. They would serve God with the lips or with the mouth, but their heart wasn't right. They didn't truly love their neighbors. They didn't truly love the people around them. And I pick up on things, and one of the things he said the other day, he said, well, people in the community don't know their neighbor. They don't know who around them. They don't know anything. And that's the thing about it. Do you know the people around you? I was saying, well, the community, when it happened between the mayor and the chief, where's the rage, the anger, you know, the violence, you know, what's going on here? Politically, this means a lot. And looking at that election I was telling you about, it means a lot because that's the destiny of the city, of the country, of that nation, according to your leaders, because the leaders is representative of what the people are. And so he wants him to go inquire of God, and they're not following God. God knows if your heart's not with him. And you have to have faith. And he gives you that seed of faith. He had placed that eternity in the hearts of men to seek you. And that's the born again experience. But faith in God is not as some people nowadays say, well, I believe in God. Well, you go to the people, half the people, all the people on the street, all the people in this community and neighborhood. They believe God. They believe that it was a person, a historical Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. They believe in God, but they have dead faith. And faith without works is dead. It's no good. You'll have a lot of them coming up to this pagan holiday, Easter, proclaiming about the resurrection or whatever. And they'll leave off to that into Christmas time or something. And these are the people that shouldn't be called in Jesus' name. Because they hadn't departed from iniquity. They believe God will save them without works. You have to have works. If he didn't born you again, there's no such thing as you not thirsting and hungering to be filled by to have more of that infilling, to have the truth. And this nation, this state, this city, have trampled on the gospel. When they say the gospel shall be trampled underfoot, ask him what happens in your village when you follow the Christians. If you didn't see the Christian news and everything, or what was going on over there, when you get the gospel, man, this is a precious book. To be able to sit here among one another and we preach and teach the gospel, that is something truly wonderful. And you have little villages and places, if they teaching this or preaching the gospel, they'll be hunted down and killed. Because there's so much power, there's power in the word, and we're not using that word. We don't have faith to use it. We don't have faith to get us up out of the bed. We don't have faith to do anything. We can't run our lives. We can't run our families. We can't run the nation. We can't run the community. All these things start at home. Charity starts at home. It starts with being a leader of your family. It starts with being a leader. It starts with you trembling and fear and trembling working out your salvation to God. So it says in the book of James, the devils believe and tremble, but that doesn't mean that they'll be saved. See, just believing. See, we look at portions of Scripture. John 3:16, whosoever believeth on him shall be that he died for the sins of the... But that's a portion of it. You can't take a portion of Scripture and then just bank on that and be dogmatic about that. This thing is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you have to live by the whole gospel. It takes the whole gospel. So the answer was going to be no. They said that they wanted to inquire of God. Look what God told them. He says, the weapons that y'all do have to fight against Babylon with, I'm going to turn them against you, and I'm going to fight against you. I'm going to fight against you because you've been naming my name, and you've been idolaters. You've been given to your wives. Your wives been worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They've been doing Easter, Christmas. They've been doing all these pagan things. The men were no longer men. The women and children were their leaders. The men couldn't stand up. They couldn't run their home. And he said, no, this is not going to happen. You're going to Babylon. You're going in captivity. I'm tired of you. You remember last week I said, no, God doesn't answer all prayers because what he said, he hears not the prayers of a sinner. Well, how, if you're not lining up with God's word, if you're not meeting the conditions of your work order at work, how can you say that you should get a raise? Have you met all these conditions of being a good employee? Well, have you met all the conditions of being a child of God? Asking without faith. We see Jeremiah spoke on the inspiration of God. And that God inspires you when he places faith in you, when he gives you that faith, you start to speak up for his word. Because the word of God has to be in you, and I told you, people can see your faith. Faith can be seen.
See, it's the evidence of the substance of the unseen, but God puts that spirit in you to obey His law in the hunger and thirst, and it's something that Jeremiah said was like fire shut up in his bone. You can't hold it back. You can't quit testifying. You can't quit living for Jesus. It's in you, but all preachers are not inspired. Anybody can speak what's in the Word of God. That's why you have so many false prophets. Pashur and all of these other people, there were many of false prophets during Jeremiah's time. And you see throughout the book, he talks about false prophets. He talks about all these false people and teachers and things. And those are the ones that he said. The other pastor that we talked about, pastor we talked about last week in chapter 20, he had told him he was going into captivity, he and his friends that listen to him. Because if you're not with us, you're against us. This thing, when people think, well, let's just visit this church, and that's a dangerous proposition. Once you find somewhere that you say you worship in God at, dig in and make roots there. But you got a problem visiting one another's churches and fooling around with these spirits. And some people talk with a whole lot of emotions, of giving their opinions or whatever. But listen to what John says in the book of John, 1 John, the 4th chapter, 1 John. John, starting at the first verse. So, it's listening to preachers on television to do this. But he says, look, beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirit, whether they be or of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ is come up in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which of you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of iniquity is here. A false prophet. See, it looked like if I was to go out there and attack this prophet, attack this person, a lot of other Christians may get the wrong idea. They say, well, why are those Christians fighting one another? Because one of them have a stronger belief system. You're not going to live and die for something that you don't believe in. And that's what I say, American Christians don't actually believe what they say, else they wouldn't be so violent, because Christ taught a different message. But when we attack another, say, an Antichrist, a false prophet, we say something, well, a lot of times the people don't understand. When you said something about this famous evangelist, or you said something about this preacher, and all of y'all brothers in the Lord. Well, maybe not, because what did it say? Jesus said that they would have wolves to come in sheep's clothing. Do you know if a wolf came in sheep's clothing that he's going to look just like the sheep? He's going to look just like a preacher. Satan's ministers are transformed into angels of light. In other words, ministers of light. They're transformed. They're metamorphosized. It's just like another, just like the true preacher. They say this deception is so strong, if possible, it could fool the very elect. The reason it can't fool the elect is that they studied up, that they prayed up, and they know the word of God. And they're given to errors in things that you say or do. That's why I'll be telling you, be careful what you say with me, because I'm always judging and looking. I decipher everything. You have to decipher everything and everybody and use that. That's what why it says don't take a novice in the church or young person, because a Christian experience is built over years. It's not built over somebody coming to church with a testimony and have intellect. You remember I told you that's the noose of the mind? But by transforming the mind, you have to learn of Christ. You have to learn of His ways. It's certain discernments that you could pick up. There's a difference between spiritual discernment, whereas a psychologist or a FBI profiler, they said the philosophy of this world, the psychology of men. Well, they say when a person crossed their hand, they'd be in defenses. When they look this way, they're telling a story. They have all sorts of medical tales. But that's not always true in the spiritual realm. That's why earthly wisdom is devilish and it's sensual and it's not from above, whereas spiritual wisdom is given by God. Only God can discern that. You said something the other week. I was listening. I remember you had told me something about a dream once before, and you had repeated about you were walking and there were all sorts of little snakes biting at you trying. And I said, well, I hope he doesn't take that as being permanent, because I'm seeing in that same dream that you're absorbing a lot of poison. In other words, sometimes he says, that's why Daniel and Joseph said, God is the interpreter of dreams. God is the interpreter of dreams. So that at one time that could have been good or a blessing, it could be your worst vice later on. It could turn just like God turned on David. He became David's what? Satan. You know, in the book of Chronicles, it says Satan withstood David. In other words, Satan means adversary. That's what Satan means, adversary. He became David's adversary because David had transgressed the word of God, and therefore God had to withstand David because David's pride and ego had caused him to start walking contrary to God. So all that what God had did for him, he says, David and I would have done more, but your character, your personality is not in agreement with mine now. And how can two walk together unless they agree? David had murdered Uriah. David had become a liar in this. David had become the type of man when Nathan told him about it, he launched out to want to give this person much more punishment than the law actually called for. Because the law required that the man who had stole that lamb would restore sevenfold, or fourfold in some cases. It didn't require the death of that person, but David said he must die. So that wasn't by inspiration of God. That was David because he had got, the woman had spiritually contaminated him, just like Samson had got contaminated. That's why I say, don't give your strength unto the woman. Because he had crossed God and he had started working against God and God's men. That was the best man, the best soldier he could have had, Urijah. And for a woman, he killed him. You better watch it. A man will kill you over a woman. A man turn his back on God. Men say, well, I can do both. I can serve my wife and God. And you can't do both. You cannot do both. That's why he warned Solomon. He said, Solomon, those women are going to turn your heart away from me, and before long, you will be going into their temple worshiping their gods. Faith is taking God at his word. You have to take God at his word, so thereby to be strong and courageous and have a lot of strength, we must meditate on his word day and night. Meditate on the word because revelation is going to come through the word. Inspiration comes through the word. It's not a private interpretation. So some things Paul wrote might have not been inspired. That's why they say that this other letter that's lost, the other letter he wrote to the Corinthians, may not have been inspired. The reason that it's not in print or whatever, because Paul was just like us, just like Elijah. He was given to such same passions and things as we are. Elijah was just like us, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. But he also got fearful of Jezebel, that she was going to take his life, and he took off running. See, so we shouldn't worship men. We should look at men as that they're empowered by the Spirit of God. They have been born again, and we could have that same faith because God loves each and every one of us with the same love that he loved Jesus, with the same love, in that same spirit that we have coerced, so to be strengthened and that Jesus even said, greater things we shall do. He's willing to build that spirit up in you if you walk as he walked, as you grow in faith, not quenching the spirit, not grieving the spirit. And the little white lies we tell, the little things that we deceive and everything, that takes away from your spiritual strength. It takes away from your spiritual well-being. God talked with Balaam in the book of Numbers. Balaam was a prophet that knew of God. He prophesied and he told Balak, he said, I can't speak no more than what the Lord had told me to speak. Sure. You see, what the Americans have started and looking at was just like Israel, just like the Jews were. That they think because they are happening, he told the Jews the same thing. I had not chosen you because you were different or you were... He just chose them, just like he chose Jacob to love and he hated Esau. God made a choice. The Jews weren't any different than any other people. What made them different is that God had chose them and put his name in them to be holy. And that's why he fought against them, because they were not displaying his character of who he was. We're put here to glorify God. And once we distort that image, once we are Christian and name the name of Christ and do those things contrary to him, we make him go against us and punish us and chasten us. And if we don't learn or don't, we push him further and further against us because we have to obey. He put us here to do good works. Judah had not did good works. I got in your notes in a couple of places that at the end about inquiring of God. Because sometimes God didn't even allow the people to be inquired of him. He says, Ezekiel 20, chapter of Ezekiel in the first verse. And it came to pass in the 7th year in the 5th month, the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. When God did choose to answer these people, just like he answered them in Jeremiah's time, it was just like our sermon was Saturday, the Sabbath, a rude awakening. God was telling them it's going to be about judgment. I'm coming in and I'm going to speak judgment. And he needs strong men that's not going to equivocate with the word of God. Joseph was that way. When he was a man of God, the cupbearer asked Joseph, what did the dream mean? And Joseph told him it was blessings in the dream and that he was going to be restored to where he was. But when the baker asked him, what did it mean by the dream? He said that they're going to take your head off your shoulders. But these money-coming preachers, these word-of-faith preachers, these preachers that always on God loves you, they're always talking good things, but they never will tell you that God is a terrible God and that you dare not cross God and that God will destroy you, that God will take and he will set your whole body in eternity in lost. It's not good to play with the Lord. Tempt not the Lord thy God. But you say, oh no, God wants favor of you and you're special and all that. And get people to think God is some safe giant Santa Claus that just forgive everybody and that you can sin and sin. He says, no, you broke my covenant. God is a covenant God. That's why when they came inquired of him, they say, ask him, what are you going to say, Jeremiah? He says, you will go to captivity to Babylon. I want you to go out there and surrender. It's just like if somebody would say, well, look, North Korea coming. Y'all go in. I want the United States to surrender to North Korea. I want you to just go in. Those that surrender, you can have your life for a booty. In other words, that's going to be your prize. Is you will save your life. You're going into captivity. Those that don't surrender, you're going to be killed by the sword. And I'm going to do this. I'm fighting. Look at what he says in Jeremiah there. He says, I'm going to fight against them with the weapons in their hands. With your nuclear weapons, use your weapons to kill you. He can take somebody and put them over our food supply and contaminate a whole area with salmonella. You're not out of the bounds of God. He says, Jeremiah, 21st chapter, the 4th verse. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands. They had developed all kinds of weapons after Hezekiah's time that was very good arsenal. But he says, I'm going to turn back those weapons. And with wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, I will assemble them into the midst of the city. In other words, I'm going to break down the walls. I'm going to put them right inside the city. I'll take America and put so many immigrants in there that the immigrants overtake America. That the enemy is within. See, we don't realize that what we're playing with is a powerful God here. And that you better pray. He said, why do you think Paul says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation? You don't know. And some people think that they know how this is going to end up. You better start walking circumspectively. You better start watching who you fool with and what you give your life to. See, this faith we have is a dead faith, a lot of us. It doesn't have any works for God. That's why it says, when you serve me with your whole heart, he'll know. He'll know when you're serving him with your whole heart. He says, I myself, that's verse 5, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and great wrath. Now, look at those pronouns, those verbs that he used. In fury, in great wrath, in anger. Have you ever fought somebody that was angry? See, you don't want to fight God like this. And this is God saying this to his people. Because their faith didn't have works. They were covenant breakers. They had broke God's covenant. And I got some scriptures there for that. Isaiah 24 and 5 says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. In other words, as Babylon, the United States had been in an alliance with every country in the world and tried to bribe every country with gifts and money and things. And do you know people will take your money and then they'll turn on you? That's not going to do it in the end about you was an alliance with them, because sooner or later it's going to come back to get you. You've made evil alliances. You go to the thing, one of the worst things you've done, and that happened to Zedekiah, the same thing that they had been doing. It happened to Zedekiah. And that is, when Babylon came in, Nebuchadnezzar came in. And I told you, Nebuchadnezzar wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel. If you read the fourth chapter of Daniel, it's in the first person. Nebuchadnezzar wrote that chapter. Just write it down on your notes to read Daniel chapter 4 and see, isn't it in the first person that Nebuchadnezzar wrote that chapter? He was a servant of God. He was a type and shadow of the Gentile ruler of the whole earth, because God had given him the whole earth. He was the jailer to punish Judah for doing wrong. But Zedekiah had broke the covenant. Zedekiah had lied and connived, and he had did all these wicked things. What he did, and we got to read that prophecy in the 23rd or 24th chapter of Jeremiah. He said he was going to go to Babylon, but he wasn't going to see it. And what happened was, he didn't do what Jeremiah told him, he had to go out and surrender. He tried to escape at night through a hole in the wall. The king ran down on him. Nebuchadnezzar ran down on him out in the desert. And he said, oh, where you going? I got you. You remember the covenant we made? Who these people is with you? Those your sons there? And he killed his sons right before his eyes. And after he killed his sons, they took a hot sword, held it up to his eyes, and blinded him. They had prophesied here that he wasn't going to die by the sword. They didn't kill him, they just blinded him, and they took him to Babylon. That fulfilled the prophecy that he was going to go to Babylon, but he wouldn't see it. That's because they had blinded him. That's the, you have to stand up against, and that's what they was doing to Jeremiah, the reason they killed him. After he gave him his prophecy, he said, okay, we'll put Jeremiah back in jail. Because his people around him were like Dick Cheney and them. They were stronger than Zedekiah was. A leader has to be strong. He didn't have faith in God. Faith in God would have had works. That's what I was telling you about the chief. Chief White, he had works. Faith stand up and works, and you may be crucified. They may kill you. They may do anything to you. But you have to have faith in God that you don't fear him that destroyed the body. You have to have faith in God. And so Zedekiah did all these things, and they put Jeremiah back in. You'll see later on that he was tried as a traitor. When you say these things about the United States, about Baton Rouge, about the governor in Louisiana or whatever, they say you're a traitor, that you're not patriotic. But see, that's the catch is, the devil wants you to be in a position where you go against popular opinion, where everybody say you're the one wrong. And see, everybody was saying Jeremiah was wrong here. And Jeremiah was such a man of God, he was able to stand up. He said, Jeremiah, don't be confused. Don't be confounded. You go stand and tell them what I say. Now they all will turn against you. That's not the faith that a lot of Americans has. They wouldn't die of the death of a lot of these people in the country that's truly done found the gospel, that didn't see relatives, didn't see villages destroyed, and they find the true God. That thing lives in them, and they couldn't change it if they want to. That pride would say it would be like Polycarp. They would tie him to the stake and say, I would just present be a good piece of wood for you to burn on that fire. You're not going to turn. That's why Peter said, Lord, where should we go? Anytime a man does die the truth, he never possessed eternal life in him. He never did possess the Spirit. You never did possess Christ. Once Christ comes into your life, you don't become covenant breakers. You may sin, and we've all sinned, but then that sin, God has mercy and you can repent of that sin, but you keep God's law. Ezekiel 40:4-7 says, in that you brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. That's why I say, please, if your wives, husbands, or spouses, and anybody that, no, they don't have to come visit here. You can visit their church. I can't tell you what to do with your life. But don't come in here with that foolishness about these pagan holidays and Easter and Christmas and all this old foolishness. Study. We would just rather have just a few people that's honoring God that with the name of Christ. Because the crowd will get you in trouble. And you know, a lot of people love to hide in a crowd because then you can't distinguish what's going on. But God can distinguish what's going on. And that's not the way to build a church. Romans 1:31 says, now this is New Testament. You remember I say line up on line, precept upon precept. To those of you listening that these evangelists or teachers thing are talking against the law is holy and pure. The law is spiritual, so that's why we couldn't keep the law. That's why through faith he gives us his spirit to help keep his law. We can't be lawbreakers because that's the definition of sin, is transgression of the law. So this is New Testament. Line up on line, precept upon precepts. Romans 1:31. It says there, in this last days, they're without understanding. And the beginning of understanding and knowledge is the fear of God. You can't, we studied understanding, you have to have, and these people don't have understanding because the churches are not requiring repentance. They're not requiring repentance of sin. They just say, oh, confess Christ. He said, you can't just confess Christ. I've chosen you. You couldn't choose me. You have to turn from your sin. He didn't come to save you in your sin. He come to save you from your sin. He that nameth the name of Christ must depart from sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. We have to go hard on sin. He says, lacking understanding, covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. That is in the New Testament. Without natural affection. That's like your governor. That's like your people here that's cutting programs to the poor. Baton Rouge, again, is the number one city in the nation in AIDS virus. It's not just unique to other countries. It's right here. What are we doing about it? It's right here. What are we doing about it? When you cut the poor, when you oppress the poor, the father and the woman, God said, I'm going to fight against you for that. That's me. I'm going to fight. As we cut all these programs to the people, we're thinking we're doing something so we can live in our ivory towers, so we could have our $5,000 weekend tailgate parties and things. But you're fighting against God, and that's a battle you can't win. You oppress the poor. He's going to cry out to him, and I'm going to hear him when he cries. That's what God says. But their wives wanted to live luxurious lives, so they devised ways of cheating God. And Jesus, during Jesus' time, Jesus said, now you go here and you call this Corban so that you won't have to honor your mother and father. You won't have to do nothing for your parents. You won't have to do nothing for the church. You won't have to do nothing for nobody because it's Corban. And Corban was something that you can use out of, but it was set aside or dedicated to God. But all and yet and still you use it and living out of it. That was a way of, like United States do, a loophole where the church used charitable contribution. And the church is not, it shouldn't be a 501c organization. Because if you claim it on taxes, you're not giving it to God. If you get that, it's only a few, most of the churches on this audio program that we are on, they tell you about that. Because if you get it back from the government, you hadn't given it to God. And that's what they were doing. They were giving out of their abundance. This nation have always found ways to rob God. That's why the Roman Catholic Church is one of the richest churches they are, because of selling indulgences. And that's what, if they say we get the people to worship in money and finances, that they'll go after mammon. But God says you cannot serve mammon and God. You cannot do both of them. He says, who knowing that they're implacable, without natural affection, unmerciful. You see, and unmerciful, you're really against God's characteristic because he's a God of mercy. That's why how a lot of laws be broken, that God looks at mercy. David broke the law when he ate of the bread that was only for the priest. But that God was a God of mercy. God says, don't the priests sin when they cook on the holidays, when they cook in the showbread, when they offer up sacrifices? See, God is, he told you in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, what doeth he require? To love mercy, to do good, to love justice. And those things, that's not in our heart. That has to be what we are naturally made of, and that's unnatural to the human body. In other words, God has to put his spirit in there. We have to nourish that spirit till it grows, that where the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, that we can even love our enemy, which is unnatural to the human man, to the old man, the new man. That's the creation we're trying to get it to, where we can love everybody. We can love our enemies, that we love in this love continually grows. Without this love, you can give your body to be the barn, but without charity, without love, you have nothing. That's what this faith does. This is a faith that has works. This is a faith that sacrifices itself. This is sacrificial faith. Hebrews 8:8 says, for finding fault with them, he said, not with the law. He says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days cometh, said the Lord, when I will make a new what? A covenant. That's the covenant that he was talking about in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you read the 30th chapter through the 34th chapter, he'll tell you about the new covenant that he was going to make. He was going to give you a circumcised heart, that he was going to give you a new heart to whereby you can serve him. He was going to take the old heart out. He doesn't want you the way you were. He would take that heart out. You can't, nobody could do heart surgery on themselves. God take that old heart out and give you a new heart where you will love to do his laws, where you will walk in those laws. That law becomes who you are. That is what now defines you, is God's laws. That's his character. That's what the definition of God is. And that word, it shall never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his word. When you challenge God's laws, you challenging God. That's his character. So the fault was with us, our humanness, our heart, our flesh. Behold, the day has come, says the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. So why would he put your laws into his mind, into your innermost being, into your spleen? That was the kidney. That's where your feelings. That's your utmost part. That's the noose. That's the transformed mind. He said, be renewed in the transformation of your mind. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. All of us should be of the same mind. So he says, I'm going to put my laws in their mind. See, because we meditate in his word day and night. The book of Psalms says, how can a young man prosper? He says, by hiding the word of God in his heart. Taking that word of God. It's the meditating day and night. Be strong and courageous. He said, teach it to your children when you sit down. Teach it when you go out. Teach that law. That's why he gave it to Abraham, because he knew Abraham was going to teach it to his children. That's why the spirit of Elijah that he said of that last day, a spirit of restitution of all things, where he'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the hearts of the sons of the father. He's looking for the family unit. Not an individual unit, for a family unit. One that loves, one that's reaching out. He says, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. That's because he's going to be to wash you with the water, the regeneration. He's going to wash away your sin. That's why you have to take heed. It's like a woman carrying a mirror. And each time she's looking at Christ, she goes, just a lipstick or something, because the mirror, she can't take the mirror and wash her face with the mirror. The mirror is what she see. How does she see the dirt on her? Right? Well, that's what the law is. That's what God's word is. It shows us sin. The law shows us our sin. And we seeing that sin, we are unworthy. We are helpless to do this. The only way we can do this is through Christ. I'm not worthy, Lord. Through Jesus, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So I have to die to myself. He has to increase. I have to decrease. I have to crucify self daily. I have to present my body as a living sacrifice each day. I have to grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding. And I can only do this by walking by faith that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in his word. That he's going to truly do that. He says, and in that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old, now that which decayed, he taketh away that waxeth old. Walking in love is walking in God's law. So let's not throw away that you have to be walking in love. You have to be able to love. Without love, God's not in you. If you don't love your brother, you can't hate your brother and love God. Don't come to the altar if you have art against your brother. Go get right with your brother, and then you could come pray. It says, don't leave your gift. Go back, get right, because there's a problem. It's a lot of people leave right out the church, fighting on the church parking lot. How you fight on the church parking lot? How you going to shoot somebody in the church grounds? How you going to do this? Your worship, he said in the book of Isaiah, I will not smell in their solemn assemblies. When they come to pray to me, they offer up much prayer, and I will not hear their prayer. I don't want to hear it. Don't bring your sacrifices. Don't bring any of this to me. I'm woefully sick of it. 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now, hold on now. Where are the ones that saying about the law been done away with those that's against God's law? Here's the apostle. Here's John now. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that said he abided in him, also to walk even as he walked. As who walked? As Jesus walked on the law. He came and interpreted the law. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to love. The Father sent him to do this because no other man can do what he did. That's our pattern. Don't get rid of the pattern. Without Jesus, as long as you got Jesus, that's all you need. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Him and the Father are one. They're one. They are one. There's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All you do, do in the name of Jesus. All you do, he's the captain of our salvation. God had given him a name above every name. Everything in heaven and earth had to bow to him. He's got all power. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you. Huh? He didn't write any new commandments, he says. But an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. God change it not. When Jonah to preach, did you know what Jonah had to do? He had to go back and preach that same message God had given. He didn't change the message. He went back and preached what God had sent him to preach. God says that's his nature. He changed not. He's immortal. He don't change. God can't change. That's the immutability of God. Breaking the law. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that therefore upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons. Does it say any other time? Oh, it says now. You see, the thing is, you don't reckon that to be so. You have to start reckoning. In other words, that's a counting term. You have to assume that to be so. You have to have faith to believe that. You have to. God makes that real to you. And there's a lot of people looking for it way off somewhere, way down the, like they're going to grow up. No, now we are the sons of God. Once you start that walk, God's going to start opening up faster. Start doing what God tells you to do and see how fast he's unfolding. He's waiting on you. God is sitting there waiting for that rude awakening, for you to come to conscience and say, man, God had prepared me to look good. Let me lay aside every weight and sin that's besetting me to run this race. It's there. Don't be planning 30 or 40 years ahead. It's there today. Today is the day of salvation. If you walk in there now, walk right in there now. He says, and do it not knowing what we appear, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself. In other words, purged himself of this world's love, of this world's good, of this world's thing. You have to purge. That's what the ministry is for. To edify, to exhort, for you to do this to one another. For you not to forsake the assembling together, you said. For you not to adapt the ways of the old man. The way that you once walked as Gentiles do walk now. When you were in darkness, you have to walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature. Come to that conscience. Don't let nobody tell you differently. Because the birds of the air are going to try to take that word away. They're going to try to take that seed that's planted. The gospel is very important. If you don't believe it, wait till the day that you cannot publicize it the way it's publicized now. When people come here, they're amazed at how we don't take the gospel as serious, because we have freedom of speech here to say things that in other countries you would die for that night. You know, in other places you would die. You say something about any portion of the government. If you come with a religious idea that's not what that nation's government is, that you may die. But here, you have so much liberty, and you've cast it off. You've taken it and have become complacent with it. And it's not being fully used. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that beget love him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his what? Commandments. We have to be commandment keepers. Now I'm not saying that as a legalist now. I hope y'all understand that. Because no man keeps the law, because by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Justification is in Christ Jesus. We're justified in him. But you remember I told you, even though he puts us in a just state, that even though he's imputed his righteousness unto us, we have to develop that character. We have to walk to develop that character. Salvation doesn't come just, it comes as you walk. That's why you have to walk. We're training right here. This is the training ground for the kingdom. This is the training ground for the kingdom. The Davidic kingdom will be on earth. In other words, this government, Satan is the god of this world. This world's going to be cast out. But we're the ones who help cast him out by the manifestation of the sons of God. People are waiting. Man, when I talked to this young man the other day, I left here so happy. Just like I told you when I seen the chief, Dwight White, I was so happy because when you start seeing people stand up for righteousness, Jeremiah was looking for some people with him. These things, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written on you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that we have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now that's the same thing what Jesus said. Ask my Father anything in my name and that he shall give to you. Okay? You see, that's what happened with the name and claim in churches and the prosperity thing. See, because if you go there and ask God for merchandising and stuff, is that according to his will? No. Because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. So as you seek in the kingdom of God, he know what you have need of for you ask. But if you have righteous needs, you can say, well, God, I need a car. I need help. I need a car, I need a house, I need something. Well, then he says in the book of James, the reason you don't have if you had next. But if you ask him, he's going to give it. Jesus guaranteed he's going to give that in my name, he'll give to you. And John just now confirmed that he said, if we ask according to his will. Now here's the problem is, whether Satan blesses you or God blesses you or God holds back or whatever, if you go pray for something, you need a car, but you go to God and name the car. You go out there through pride and you can't just take any old hoopty. You can't take just any used car, but you want a big old house, a big brick house with all this. You want a fancy car and all this. Well, James said the reason you have not, you ask it amiss. You're asking, you should just ask God for it, and he knows what you have need of, and he'll provide that. Now, you do ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. And I showed you last week, if it's something that he don't want you with, he'll tell you no. But right here, when they say go ask God, perhaps he'll work a miracle for us, it wasn't according to God's will because they had rejected his will. They had rejected his word. They had broke his commandment. And John tells them that if we read the whole thing. That's why I say you can't just pull things out of context. That's why he says we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. There you go again. Listen, he said, if we, and this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother which is in a sin unto death, he shall ask him and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. God is a God of providence. He's going to cause you to be at the right. He's going to cause the right things to happen. If you ask according to his will, if you living for him, he knows his children, he knows what they have need of, those that have faith in him. But don't go out there and live like the devil. That's what Balaam said. Balaam, when they was out there warring and saying, Balaam said, oh, let me die the death of the righteous. Hold on, now you didn't live like the devil. Now you want to die the death of the righteous? You want to live like hell, and when you get old, then you want to come into church when you can't do nothing for God. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, remember the Lord in the days of your youth. You need to live for God each day. You need to be available for God's use. You were created for good works. They didn't have any works to match these things. Their faith was dead, a dead faith. And that's what James and Paul was talking about, that a faith without works is dead. Jesus said, I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. That faith will have some works. That faith drives you to those works. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help me be able to teach your people, Lord.
When I left you the other day, you had to give me the online or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I just went there, I tried to click, still not, it's so good with computer things, you know. Over there, we didn't have this thing. And when I went in there, I just heard about, you know, the whole sermon was like coming from the book of Jeremiah when he was crying and telling people all these things, you know. I just heard about two or three messages and the Lord just told me, you know what, this is what is happening. It has happened. People, these are the same people whom I, you know, and they are, even if they come being banned, they are already determined on what they are doing.
Uh-huh.
And right now, you know, we are in the end times.
Very end times.
And it just reminded me the book of Revelation 22, verse 10 there, and I was like, Jesus, just help me because I need to see you when you know. And yeah, I didn't even go ahead and listen to anything else because the messages were too powerful. They were like, this is what people should get and absorb so that even if the nation can be saved. But people are not ready to do this. People are kicking God out and out every day, out and out and out. There is hatred, you know, there's separation every day. And I'm like, Jesus, just help me. So immediately I went there and I clicked the articles of faith and what we believe and all that. I just checked there and the Lord was like, we didn't talk much, but the kind of faith, the kind of zeal that the Lord has just put in me. I was reading the other day, I've even talked to my wife, and I've told her, look, the other day, somebody was teaching, you know, about divorce and all this, but the Spirit of the Lord is so powerful. Because when I was reading the book of Mark,
uh-huh.
verse 10 and 29:30. It told me, I just read that thing and the Lord opened my mind. I told you, if you are ready, we're going to go to heaven. If you're not, I'm going to leave you because I just had a revelation right here. And the revelation is, for the sake of the word of God, if I leave you, if I leave my children, if I leave everybody, for the sake of the word, I'm going to be right with him. Immediately the spirit was like, oh, you don't even remember, Lord, what he did? Oh. And he was like, what about if it was the man of today? What are you going to do? I'm like, just help me. So, from that, I was kind of concerned about the policy. Because you said, you know, two men cannot work together unless they agree.
Why?
And the Lord told me when I